So I want to talk with you a little bit today about giving, about sacrifice, but not the way that you might be thinking. Every time you say giving and sacrifice, everybody goes, oh, I have this kind of look. Talking about giving and sacrifice in church is like one of those once every 5 years things you get to talk about. But that's not what I'm talking about today. I'm not talking about tithing. Tithing is a discipline of giving regularly and portioning out of what we have, what we make, what we earn to be able to give to God. And tithing is a practice, it's a habit, and it's a good habit to get into. It's one of those disciplines that we need to discipline ourselves for in our life. You should tithe, I should tithe. I'm not trying to say that's not what important, but I'm not talking about tithing today. Jesus didn't talk a whole lot about tithing either. Jesus talked a whole lot about giving, though, and he talked a lot about sacrifice. He tended to focus on the people. If you look at the stories in the Bible, if you look at the parables, if you look at the healing moments, if you look at the things that it's not every time, and I don't want to say that it is, but if he tends to focus on the people who gave, especially the people that gave in a sacrificial way. One instance that always comes to my mind is when he's with his disciples outside of the temple at the giving box, at the money box, and the people are coming and making sort of a show of all of the money that they're putting in the box, and the old widow comes up and she drops in just a couple of coins, and he tells his disciples, he said, hey, you know, I want you to pay attention to this. I want you to see what's happening here. That she, even though it looks so minimal and small and she makes no gesture, she gave more than everybody else here. Because she didn't give from her abundance, but she gave from her lack. She gave everything she had. And he's telling them, this is the model. This is how you're to give. Not in this portioning out. Yes, tithing, we should tithe. Please don't mishear me about that. But we're meant to give from a lack. We're meant to give sacrificially. So that the only thing left is trust that God fills that place back up again. And it's not just money that's the issue when it comes to that. It's not just that. I mean, when I think of the people that Jesus heals, the blind Bartimaeus that cries out, you know, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the people kind of quiet him and he keeps crying out and crying out and crying out. He's totally just being all out there, all given, completely willing to make a fool of himself, completely willing to be a David that dances before the Lord with no holding back. That totally sacrificially being ready and willing to say, here's everything I am. Come. The Synoptic Gospels all record the same. Actually, I'm not sure that John does, but all record this story of the disciples when Jesus is teaching about the rich young ruler that comes to visit and seeking God and wanting to know what can he do. And of course, Jesus tells him, you need to sell everything you have, but then come follow me. And he turns away dejected. And then they have this conversation with the disciples. And he talks to them about how hard it is for those that have. But there's this moment after that when Peter, who's always so outspoken, always says what's on his heart, and I think really says the heart of the matter, he says, but Lord, we gave up everything to follow you. And again, we see this model of givingness. Not just with our finances, not just with the money we have, not just with stuff, but with us. When the disciples said they gave up everything, we need to understand that they didn't just give up their careers, which they did. They didn't just give up their equipment, which they left. It doesn't record what happens. I assume they still have a boat. I see it later on and some nets. But they didn't just give up that. They didn't just give up their income sources. They gave up their lives. Because their life was the tabernacle, was the community of the church there at the time in the Jewish community. And it was completely gone. They were completely separated and outcast. They were no longer part of that community, now becoming ostracized, becoming hated, becoming looked at and despised. Jesus doesn't focus a lot on tithing, on partitioning, but he focuses a lot on complete giving, on complete sacrifice, to such a degree that the early church, when they're just getting started off in Acts, it talks about how they were all together all the time and everybody was selling everything they had and bringing together so that no one had any lack. It was this idea of whatever we have, we are giving so that everyone can have. And so that is how we build up the church. That's how we build the community, is when there's not a have and a have not, but we all are together in this thing. See, Jesus was looking for people that were givers, people who were sacrificers. He was looking for people that were totally sold out to this idea, that were totally willing to be sold out to that idea. We talk a lot in Christian circles about that idea of being sold out to God or sold out for God. Have you heard this expression? I've used it lots of times. It's one of those kind of Christian slogans that gets tossed around. But what do we really mean when we say that, being totally sold out for God? Sold out, the term, it comes from an idea of like a concert or an event, a venue of some sort, where every available seat, every place that could possibly be filled has been claimed. And there's no room for anything else. It's been totally claimed. The idea is that Christ is to lay hold of every area of our life, every individual place, to such a degree that there's not room for anything else to come in there. We essentially take each part of us, the bone and the sinew and the pieces that knit together each element, each part of our lives, each little detail that's happened over our lives, each truth that we've learned and each lie that we've believed and each hurt that's happened, every brokenness that's in us and every life that he's given and all of these things. And we take all of this stuff and we just sell it off one piece at a time to God. We take each one of these pieces and we just begin to sell it and sell it off and sell it off and say, God, this is yours and this is yours and this is yours. And we just sell it until we are totally sold out, until there's not one part left that isn't claimed by him. And the cool thing is that God really, he wants to buy a ticket. He's good with all that's going on here. You know, if you go to a concert, if you go to a sold out event, it means that you've decided you really want to see this. You want to go, it be involved with whatever's happening at this event, and you're on board with it. That's why you got the ticket. You're good with what's going to happen at that concert, and you wanted to go for that thing. See, Christ, he looked at us. He looked at all of our stuff, all the seats we sold off, all the parts. And he said, I want to buy a ticket. He said, I'm okay with all of that. That's why he came. He looked down and he saw all the stuff in our lives, all the things that, and he looked down and said, I'm on board with all of that. I'm good with all of that. It's why I bought the ticket. The memory verse that we're going to look at today in combination with another one is John 3:16. It's a verse we all know by heart. I have a feeling that Christians and non-Christians, we all know this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever should believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. I want to look at that first part. For God so loved the world that he gave. But to this point of God being okay with it, buying the ticket and saying, I want all of that. I'm good with all of this stuff that's going on. Romans 5:8 says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It says he demonstrated his great love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He said that's how he showed what love really is. Because he so loved the world that he gave, and the way in which he gave was not saying, I'm waiting till everybody's perfect. He said, I'm good with all of that. Just sell me all of your seats. I want every single one of those. I want to claim every part of that. I want every one of those because I'm going to come in and sit in those seats. I want to come and fill it. Every single seat at the concert. Every single event in your life. Every single moment, every single place, the ones you really don't want to get rid of and the ones that you're more than happy to say, here you go, God, you can have that one. He wants them all. And so, my question is, how sold out are we to Jesus? How much of your life does Christ lay claim to? We're given as a whole, all of us, right? But we give by giving the individual parts of ourselves, by selling each one of them off. We may give someone our time. We may give somebody our energy. We may give them our money. We may give them our presence, whatever it is. In each of those instances, as we are giving to another person, they're only getting part of the whole of us. They're only getting one aspect of our lives. But if we're completely sold out for Christ, then each one of those parts is fully Christ. Let me see if I can make it work. Christ becomes fully formed in each of the individual elements of our lives. When he comes in, when the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within you, he's not only indwelling you as a whole, but in every individual element that's in your life, in the way that you spend your time doing this, and the way you spend your time that way, how you spend your money here and there, who you're with, and in all of those ways, it is the full Godhead, the full Holy Spirit that is encompassing that. And so when you give a part of yourself, you're giving fully of Christ, fully of the Holy Spirit to someone else that's in need. Now let me flip this idea of attending the venue, the sold-out ticket. Let me flip that around the other way. We are talking about us being totally sold out to God. Him buying the ticket. But God is also totally sold out for us. God gave fully of himself. When it says, so God so loved the world that he gave fully of himself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When it says he gave his one and only Son, it doesn't mean that he partitioned himself and God gave a little bit of himself so that we could understand who God was, but not fully. No, it's fully God and fully man that came. He didn't partition himself out. He gave himself fully. He came down from heaven's throne to come and be with us and dwell with us on the earth so that we didn't have to try to attain this impossible goal and try to say, if I can just do enough, if I can just be good enough, if I can just say enough verses or know enough stuff or pray for enough people, then I'll earn it. He said, none of that matters. I'm coming down to you, and all you have to do is look at me and believe in me. Christ was sold out. For us, he gave up everything. He gave up the whole of heaven for his earthly life. And then he gave up all of the earthly life that he'd established, all the things for 30 some odd years that he had developed, and the relationships he built and the things he knew and took. And he took all of that and then sacrificed 100% of that. All for us. Because God is totally sold out for us. We get the chance to buy the ticket for all that's going on with him, for all that he's about. We go to the concert because we want to experience everything that's there, right? We don't buy a ticket to a concert, watch one song, and then leave. That's ridiculous. We go and we want to see the whole thing. I personally, because I'm kind of I'm a frugal person. I want to get the most for my... If I paid for a concert, I'm seeing every bit of it. And I'm staying until it's over. I want to know how it ends. I want to see how it starts. And I want to experience everything that's in there. Because it cost a lot. And I want to experience it. So we get the opportunity to buy the ticket. We can't really honestly say we choose Jesus, but only with these kind of random parts, these random selections that we choose. We're sold out when we're on board with everything. How do we get on board with everything? Well, how do we completely sell out for Christ? And how do we completely buy the ticket that he's completely sold out for us? We have to be what God's about. We have to be about the things that he's about. We have to be about what John 3:16 is about. And John 3:16 is about love. And it's about sacrifice. For God so loved the world that he gave. And it's not about just love and sacrifice. It's about love through sacrifice. It's about demonstrative love. Love that is lived out through the sacrifice. It's about giving, knowing it's going to be hard. I don't think Christ came to earth with any expectation that this was going to be simple. It's about giving, knowing it's going to be hard, and it's about choosing the hard thing because it's the right thing and it's the greater thing, and it's about giving up the easy way in favor of the best way. It's about choosing to be given so that others can receive. It's about choosing to go into darkness so that you can shine the light. John 3:16 is about love and sacrifice, and it's about love through sacrifice. Have you ever noticed that in the Bible, God's demonstration of love, especially when it's expressed through Jesus, is almost always associated with death? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Gave him how? To come and die on the cross for our sins. This is how God showed his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life, to give, to sacrifice his life for his friends, John 15:13. So what do we take away from that idea that God's love in the demonstration is shown through death? Love equals sacrifice. And the greatest love equals the greatest sacrifice. There's a direct correlation between the amount of sacrifice and the demonstration of love. That's why the greatest love is the ultimate sacrifice. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down their life for their friends. It's the greatest love because it's the greatest sacrifice. There is a direct correlation between these two things. Love that requires very little sacrifice is easy. Difficult love requires a greater sacrifice. Do you ever wonder, is what I'm doing Does it actually matter? Does what I'm doing have any impact at all? Is it actually meaningful in the whole of life? Are people going to be better because they've met me, because they know me? Am I going to have some sort of long-term impact in anything? Does that even matter? Do I care about those things? Or is the stuff I'm doing, is it worth it? I know I wonder about that a lot. Look at what Jesus did 3 years. I look back on random 3 years of my life, and I think, what did I do with those three? I don't know what I did with those 3 years. I have some moments where I think, yeah, I really did something big then. But just take three random years of your life. I just wonder a lot of times, what do I have to show for it? People often wonder, they postulate, imagine, what Mozart might have done if he had lived full life. If you're not familiar, Mozart, a child prodigy, began performing for the kings and queens around in Austria and Germany and places when he was about 6 years old. And so had an amazing career. But he died very, very young. I forget the exact age, in his 20s. Very, very young. But who doesn't know who Mozart is? His music changed the way that we understand music today. And yet such a tiny thumbprint of time. Jesus had 3 years. He changed the whole world. What he did in those 3 years has lasted until this day, and it still impacts us today. Right? It's because of what he did in those 3 years that I'm here preaching to you. It's because of what he did in those 3 years that you're here. It's the whole reason the church even exists. Jesus' 3 years altered the course of history for 2,000 plus years, and it continues to do so. Paul's ministry, 32 years. That's pretty good. From the time of his conversion, that's a longer time period. And in that time, he established nearly every church in the known world at that time. And from him, all of the churches that we have today, they're all spurned off of those original churches planted by him. What is it that made their lives so impactful? What is it that carried beyond themselves? That made it so that there is this lasting growth, this lasting transformation that we can put our finger on and say, what is it? What did they do? And the answer is sacrifice. It's giving up all of the things that we think matter for the only thing that truly matters. Jesus gave fully of himself, so that he could serve the Father. And in doing so, showed us the Father, and he did so to an extent that he was able to claim that if you have seen me, you've seen who? The Father. He was so given over to what God was about. He was so given over to that mission, so connected to every detail of that, that he said, if you saw me, you saw God. That's it. You remember Thomas says, show us the Father. And he says, you've seen him. Everything I've done is the Father. I'm the Father and he's in me. That's my prayer for my own life and to be able to say, if you've seen how we operate, can you say that about your life? Can I say that about my life? That if people have encountered me, they've encountered Christ. That if you've seen me, that you can undeniably understand the Holy Spirit is real and he exists and he operates in our lives. Do we have such a transformed life that it is so different from the lives around us that it is undeniable the work that he's doing and the way he's moving in our hearts and our lives? Paul's life was so radically sold out for Jesus that he said he cared nothing for it anymore. He said, I count it all as lost. I pulled up Philippians 3:8 here. And he says, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. And for his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, a righteousness from God that depends on faith. He says, I count it all as loss. And the word he says later when he says, I count it all as rubbish, that's the very nice word for what's really used there. He says, I count it all as dung. It's manure. He says, everything else? It was useless. It was junk. It was worthless compared with the surpassing glory of knowing Christ. And he says, I'm totally sold out for that so that I don't even care about any of that stuff anymore because each part, and he talks about it so many times in detail, working through each of the parts in his life, all of those parts are sold. Jesus has bought every single one of them. And he's sitting in every seat. Their lives were lived out sacrifice. Lived out sacrifice in a radical way. In a way that was visible to the people. In a way that was tangible to their lives. And because of that tangible nature, that visible nature, that real radical transformative way of sacrificial living, people were changed. Lives were altered. The whole course of human history has been changed because of the demonstrative love of Jesus shown through sacrificial love. I want you to think for a second, what would radical giving and sacrifice look like in your life right now? What would that look like? How would it change your life? How would that kind of being totally sold out, how would it change somebody else's life? Matthew 7:2 says, by the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Jesus lived a radically given life. And he invites us to do the same. He invites us to be his hands and his feet to the world. Christ was fully given so that we can be fully given. It's only when we take each area of our life and die to those areas that we have for ourselves and let him come in and invite him to just buy a ticket for each one of those. Just, God, take this and take this. And this is something I really love and I really desire it, but God, I'm willing to just sell it to you. Just, you bought. He bought. He measures to us total forgiveness, total mercy, grace, every other calculable thing, and we are to turn around and measure out the same way to others. So let me ask that. In what way are you measuring today? What yardstick of compassion? And I don't mean in the areas of life where it's easy. I mean in the areas where you feel challenged, where somebody just totally rubs you the wrong way, where you feel hurt, burned, burdened, beat up, whatever it is. What yardstick of compassion do we use? How much could you do, could I do, versus how much do we actually do? Show me how to be given so that others can see Christ in me through my charity. We are to be the demonstrative love of Christ to the world because Christ was the demonstrative love of God to the world. We're to model our lives on his sacrifice. Our sacrifice on his sacrifice. His measure of giving, to our measure of giving. I want to close by telling you a story. When I was 19, I got a bright blue Ford Ranger pickup. I liked that truck. It was a great little truck. It was very pretty. It was nice. And it was fun to drive. I never really fully appreciated it then, but I've always had this thing for trucks. I like trucks, like pickups. I learned to drive in my dad's truck. That was my first vehicle, was a big Chevy Big Ten. He always had a truck, and there was something about those that just kind of makes me feel whole and complete. Ever since I sold that truck, I've kind of wanted another one. Especially lately, I've really, really wanted a truck. Amy will attest to that. I've been wanting a truck for a while. I don't want it so I can drive it daily. They usually get pretty bad gas mileage. And they're not very economical, and they're not very practical. I mean, with three kids, what am I going to... You can't throw them in the back anymore. That's what I used to do. That's what used to be done to us. You can't do that anymore. So it's not for that. But it would be great to have, just to be able to haul stuff, just to be able to, like, pick up stuff and take it where I need to go and then drop it off there. Pick one place, load them up, drop them off at another place. I wouldn't want to keep the truck for all the time, just having it for that, just for those moments, right? And it would be silly to keep the truck full of stuff. My dad, hopefully I'll ask forgiveness later for this, he always kept the back of the truck just loaded with stuff. And there was no room for hauling anything. And I always thought, that's defeating the purpose of the truck. The truck is meant to be empty, so it's ready to be loaded. I would want to keep it empty so that there's always room for whatever I need to do next. And I think that's how the relationship with God is supposed to be. We're supposed to be available when He needs us to take something. Ready to be filled up, so that we can deliver whatever He's giving us to where He needs it to be dropped off. And when we drop it off, totally emptying everything out of the truck so it can be filled up again. Totally emptying ourselves so that He can fill us again. We're supposed to be God's vehicles to mankind. The people that show the love of Christ to the world. We are the deliverers of His love, of His grace, of His fellowship, of His mercy, of the time, of whatever it is that He needs. I would never imagine that if I picked up a load of something in my truck and then I got to the place where I was going to deliver it, that I would just take part of that and drop it off and then keep everything else inside. I would never imagine just dropping off some of that load but maintaining the rest of it inside. That'd be ridiculous. I would totally empty out the truck to the point that I often would like sweep out the bed of the truck so whatever I want to haul next time, it's clean, it's ready to go. How many times... And I'll just speak for myself, but how many times has God given me something, filled me up, so I could pour it out to somebody else, but I've only delivered some of it and I really kept the rest of it for myself? Perhaps we're meant to be more like a water pitcher and available for God to fill us up with His living water, just so we can be poured out. You leave water in for a pitcher too long, we go stale. We go stagnant. It's not meant to be contained in a still place and just held onto. It's got to stay running. It's got to be poured. It's got to be constantly emptied so that it can be constantly filled. You can't fill up this much. If you want this much, you have to empty that much. It's meant to be used for such a time as this. Not for some future moment when we recognize, oh yeah, we really do have enough water. I suppose I can afford to give some now. But to give it out with no expectation of what might happen. At the end of Jesus' life, I'll close with this. He's speaking to His disciples. He said, Father, The hour is come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. I manifested your name to the people that you gave me out of the world. I've given them the words that you gave me. I'm praying for them. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I'm coming to you. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost. I'm coming to you. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because of the world, because they're not of the world. I don't ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. So as we close, and as we pray, I just want to invite you to think what it would look like for radical sacrifice to transform your life, for radical givenness, first over completely to God in every element. And then once God is inhabiting us, to be radically given to others. The life that matters is the life that is given, that's poured out for the sake of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, you showed us your love while we were still sinners, while we still had so much work that needed to be done. We didn't understand. We were blind. We were lame. We didn't know. And you came so that you could show us, so that you could teach us, so that we could know you fully. Lord God, may we take that knowledge now. And I pray that you would just do a transformative work in our hearts. I pray for those places where we hold on to the seats that we were trying to reserve for something else. I pray that we would just give them all to you. Take everything we are, Lord, and transform us. Show us the places where you want us to be poured out in someone else's life. Holy Spirit, would you just inhabit our minds and our hearts, that we would go and walk in a life of prayer. Lord, teach us in all ways so that we can be your hands and feet, so that we can be used by you. Empty us so that we can be filled. Lord, bless your people now. Come and cover them with your grace, with your mercy, and with your presence of your love. Lord, would you pour out on them your Spirit. Bless your people, the fullness of who you are. We ask these things in your name. Amen.